Hello everybody, I'm Karen.
And I'm Chris, and we're both part of the ministry team at St Andrew's.
Francis has asked us to lead this short service, which we're really pleased to do.
It's the Sunday after Easter, or the second Sunday of Easter in the church calendar, and our theme today is "The Lord has risen indeed." The Lord has risen indeed.
So before Chris reads our lesson, let's take a moment to pray together, shall we?
Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to meet. We pray, Lord, that you will speak to us now and give us ears to hear what you have to say to us. For we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Our reading concerns an encounter on the road to Emmaus. It's from the Gospel according to St Luke, chapter 24, verse 13 onwards. So that's Luke 24, beginning at verse 13. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" And they replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were there with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures." As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it's almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Chris. Sometimes events can be overwhelming, can't they? It's easy to become so absorbed with what's happened or what is happening that that's all we think and talk about. So if Jesus asked you and me what we've been talking about this week, I wonder what our answer would be and how happy would we be to share those things. Would it be our health, our families, our livelihoods, Captain Tom, the NHS, a lost loved one, loneliness, the pandemic, what's happening in the world? Now, before Chris and I had children, we used to smile to ourselves as friends had babies and all they could talk about was children, nothing else. Then we had children and we understood. Sometimes we are all overwhelmed by events. That's why this passage is so important, because it proves that Jesus was raised from the dead, and it shows the transformational difference that that makes to the life of his followers, and it gives us hope. So my first point is that it's easy to lose hope. It's easy to lose hope. The two travelling companions in our passage were feeling overwhelmed, weren't they? We don't know much about them, but we do know they were followers of Jesus and not part of the original 12 disciples. One of them is named Cleopas. Other than that, we can't be sure who they were. We also know that they were leaving Jerusalem and travelling to the village of Emmaus, which was about 7 miles away. The passage opens with the words, "that same day." In other words, Easter Day, the day the women had gone to the tomb and found it empty. The travellers were discussing all the events concerning Jesus' death. Then, quite unexpectedly, Jesus turns up and walks along the road with them. But their eyes are kept from recognising him. We would have expected them to recognise him, wouldn't we? Why didn't they? Maybe it was because they were so focused on the things that had happened. Or, although they knew for a fact that Jesus had died, their unbelief prevented them from seeing that he was now alive. And we see Jesus not just moving in alongside these grieving travellers, but actively seeking to prompt them to reconnect with him, to reorientate their thoughts from the past and what had happened to the present and the future, to get their vision and their perspective back. He doesn't just tell them that he's alive and risen from the dead. He takes them on another spiritual journey while he walks with them. To be able to see, they need faith. And to have faith, they both need to seek and discover he has risen for themselves. Jesus prompts them to tell him what's on their minds. His question makes them stop in their tracks, and their body language says it all. They stood still, looking sad. I wonder what went through their minds at that moment. Where do we start? There's so much to tell. We don't have the energy to tell a stranger. It's interesting that Cleopas seems to deflect Jesus' questions and answer it with another question. Have you done that sometimes when you don't want to discuss something? Anyway, Jesus patiently listens and then nudges them again. When God wants you to address things, they can't be avoided. They just seem to keep coming back at you until you do. What things? Jesus asks. This time, the two followers open up. They know all the facts about Jesus' life and death, but what their response reveals is that they lack the faith to believe. Verse 21 is a key verse. because it shows their disappointment and their unbelief. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. They had seen Jesus humiliated, beaten, and hung on the cross to die. He wasn't the Messiah they had hoped he would be. Their dreams of him leading them to victory over their oppressors had gone. They had lost all hope and heart. We can understand their heartache, can't we? There are times when we too lose faith because we feel that God doesn't answer our prayers or do the things we want him to do. In times like the ones we're living through now, it's easy to think it's all about us and not about God. But we see in this passage that Jesus is there with them, right in the middle of their despair, even though they couldn't see him. Despite being in Jerusalem with the rest of the disciples, when the women came back from the empty tomb with the angel's message that Jesus was alive, they still couldn't put all the pieces together. They didn't realise that Jesus had risen from the dead, just as he said he would do, and the scriptures had foretold. They needed Jesus' help to understand the scriptures, to meet with him, and to connect with him as their risen Lord. Because head knowledge can't connect us to Jesus. Head knowledge alone can't help us connect with Jesus. So Jesus takes charge and shows them and us that knowing Jesus isn't just about the facts. And that's my second point. Knowing Jesus isn't just about knowing the facts. It's about personally discovering the truth behind them, revealed by God in the Bible, in the person of Jesus, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. These two followers had heard and read the scriptures, but they hadn't really believed in them in their hearts. So even though Jesus regards them as foolish and slow of heart, he longs for them to make that connection. So he reveals those scriptures to him, that his life, death, and resurrection were always part of God's plan. And we know now, with hindsight, that the whole of Scripture, the Old Testament and the New Testament, is God's plan of salvation for all those who will believe that God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, Jesus, into the world, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. As the journey to Emmaus nears its end, it looks as if Jesus is going to go on with his journey. But the two travellers don't want to part company with him. We're told they urged him to stay with them. They invited him into their home. The personal connection had been made. Their hearts might have been closed to him when they first met him. Now they wanted more of him. There was something about him that drew them, and they still didn't know what. It wasn't until Jesus was at the table for supper that he took the bread and blessed it and broke it that their eyes were opened. They will have seen him do it many times before, and now they knew it wasn't anything that they had done that had helped them to see. It was Jesus. They knew it was Jesus, and they believed. He was alive indeed. Recognising the truth about Jesus changes our lives and our perspectives, and it gives us hope. And that's my final point. Recognising the truth about Jesus changes our lives, our perspectives, and gives us hope. At that moment, Jesus vanished from their sight. It didn't matter. Now they understood and believed. Jesus is risen indeed. Have events in your life ever clouded your vision of Jesus? Do you feel Life is particularly tough at the moment. Maybe you're even feeling overwhelmed by things. Will you and I take heart from this passage and let Jesus help us to have a new perspective and a new hope? We can be sure he will walk every step of the way with us. The risen Jesus had completely transformed the lives and the perspectives of Cleopas and his companion. Instead of slow hearts, they had burning hearts. They were no longer sad and focused on the events of Jesus' death. They were exhilarated and thrilled by his life and the hope that that gave him. He was indeed the Messiah. And instead of being reluctant to speak about things, even though it was very late on in the day, within the hour they were back on that road and travelling towards Jerusalem to share that joy of Jesus with the other disciples. When they got there, their joy must have been at bursting point when they heard that Jesus had appeared to the disciples in Jerusalem and to Peter too. "The Lord is risen indeed," the disciples told them. And then Cleopas and his companion told them all that had happened to them. Sharing our stories like this builds us up as followers of Christ. What a wonderful fellowship that must have been. And we know, if we read on in this passage, Jesus appears to them again to show them his hands and his feet, to dispel any doubts or unbelief. Four times in this chapter, Luke records the detailed eyewitness evidence that Jesus is alive, so that everyone might know Jesus is risen indeed and believe he is the risen Lord. This moving passage is both proof that Jesus was indeed raised from the dead, as God promised he would be, and it's also the evidence of the difference that that amazing truth makes in the lives of his followers. Suffering, difficulties, and trials may cloud our vision for a while, but if we're prepared to be open and to journey with Jesus, he will meet our needs and help us through those times. The journey and the scriptures will help us to have a much deeper revelation of his love and his provision. They give us hope. Knowing the risen Jesus motivates us to share our stories. It spurs us on to play our part, just as it did those early followers and all those who have come since then, in proclaiming repentance and forgiveness of sins to all nations, until we take our place in his kingdom. So, what will you and I be talking about this week?
Thanks, Karen. And now we're going to say some prayers, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know how we can be overwhelmed by events and lose hope. Thank you for revealing to us the truth about Jesus. Please, will you walk with us through good times and bad? Teach us to trust you and have faith in the sure hope you give us. In the name of Jesus, our risen Lord. Amen. And now, in the light and glory of the resurrection, we pray for the situation concerning the coronavirus global pandemic. Heavenly Father, we pray for everyone affected around the world, for the sense of loss of freedom, of livelihood, of family, of life, of purpose. Lord, we pray that we'll see you at work in this crisis, We thank you for all those putting others first and providing help and support. For the very real sense of community that we're experiencing. Lord, we pray for mercy, compassion, and wisdom for our leaders and leaders throughout the world as they work out how to respond and how to keep us safe. And we pray for all those who are working hard to find cures and vaccines. Thank you, Lord, for the collaborations and the sense of working together. Father, we thank you for the work of the church in supporting each other and the community here and around the world. And today we pray especially for Bishop Alwyn in Sialkot in Pakistan and his team. Their church is in need of resources at this difficult time when the church schools have been closed and there's no income to support staff and clergy. Lord, somehow through this difficult period, will you provide all that they need when they need it? Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord, we thank you that the work of the church continues here. We pray for Francis and Jolien and their family. We pray for good health and good spirit as they're together. We pray your protection over them as they lead and guide us. And we pray for the PCC and the ministry team who meet next week. Lord, they have tough decisions to make as well. Lord, will you be with them? Will you protect them and lead and guide them? And we pray for our whole church family, scattered and yet united. And we thank you, Lord, for the way that we've been able to use the new technologies to bring that sense of family and community together. Lord, help us to take advantage of that and also to remember and reach out to those who aren't able to access it for whatever reason. And we pray, Lord, for everyone we know who is poorly or suffering in any way. We take this opportunity to name them quietly in the silence of our hearts. And Lord, we grieve with those who mourn, especially Sue Rees and her family as they mourn the loss of Steph. Lord, will you be their strength, their comfort, their support, their hope? Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. So let's bring our prayers to a close with the words of the prayer that Jesus himself taught us. The words are on the screen. Let's say it together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this short service. We do miss being with you, but we pray the Lord will use this time together to strengthen and bless us all.
Although the church is closed, there's an awful lot going on, and there are just three things I'd like to draw to your attention. The first one is the weekly news sheet, which is still published online. So lots of information of what's going on, plus things to pray for as well. The magazine this month also is available online. Details in the news sheet or on the website. You can download a copy, or if you need a hard copy, you can ask for one as well. And finally, our life groups are meeting online too. So if you're not a member of a life group yet and you would like to be, then why not take this opportunity to join in? The office have all the details of how to do that.
Philip has asked us to draw your attention to a new book that's just been published called Where is God in a Coronavirus World? And the author promises words of comfort, support and hope. And once again, the details are online.
It seems to us that the Easter message of hope is so relevant, so powerful this year. And so I'd like to close with the words of St. Paul in his letter to the Romans, chapter 15, verse 13. This is a verse we have on the wall here at home. Let's use it as a prayer. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
We hope you have a really good week. Thanks and goodbye.
Bye.